What's new with Mac OS X server? Windows Minwin. It's half CD, it's half vinyl. A new Napster. Singles on USB. And 4 gigabytes of Gmail storage. That's that and a lot more here on the show. Here it comes. I just tried to open up my bottle of Mountain Dew with making a big sound, and it didn't quite work out. Welcome to the show. My name is Jeff, and you are here on episode number 4. Welcome to episode number 4. 4 shows. I've been doing this for a month, believe it or not. Yes. Oh, man, it's been fun. Welcome. If you haven't heard the show, welcome for the first time. If you have heard the show, hey, welcome back. And give me a call. Leave me an email message. The name of the show is called The Show, but we're going to change it. I need some names. If you've got a good name, why don't you give me a ring? 608-807-4379 or drummerman1@gmail.com. Good name for the show. We're looking for names that probably wouldn't be taken for websites and probably won't have adjoining websites that are porn sites. Don't want the porn. It's, you know, some people like the porn. Gotta admit it. Some people don't. But, you know, with this show, it's not about the porn. It's about the tech stuff. So, we got a lot of great news for you this week. It's gonna be fast and furious. I've been running my tail off at work. Just a ton of stuff. Today, we went through a seminar, and tomorrow we're going to do the same thing. It's called document management. If you don't know what it is, basically, it started years ago, and it wasn't in its best form. They were just having all this, you know, you remember the old paperless environment connotations and stuff like that. Diedrich Bader for Xerox saying, hey, there's going to be no paper in your office. It's all going to be electronic. Well, it was a great idea at the time, but they weren't at a level to really produce that type of stuff. So, in result, we didn't really have that paperless environment. Now, come today, we still won't have that paperless environment, but we will have a better paperless environment. Document management is going to be one thing that you're going to start hearing about more and more and more. And the whole idea is, everything is going to get scanned in. It's going to get cataloged. It's going to get marked down. Now, get this. Let's say you work at a company for about, 30 years is a bit of a stretch. Most people don't work for a company for 30 years, but let's say 30 years. You go to retire, and you turn around and you say, hey, I really want to see my personnel file. Because you have a right to do that, and they have to show you your personnel file. So, you know, they give you the obligatory 24 hours to put together the personnel file, and you get to see it. Well, before it was a folder with a bunch of paper in it. Now you say, I want to see my personnel file, and they say, okay, here's the link. It's going to be up for 12 hours. You can't copy anything down. You click on the link, it shows you everything. It shows you the resume that you sent in. It shows you the acceptance letter. It shows you any type of issues that you had, any promotions that you had, any security changes in the computer stuff, maybe your picture, maybe some cool stuff that you did, that maybe some awards and stuff like that. Everything could be in this personnel file, and it's all electronic. Now, another good thing about this is the fact, let's say that Joe Schmo wants to look at your personnel file as your boss. Well, the best part is the HR director can let him or her look at that stuff, but then turn around and just kind of block out certain things. Like, they don't need to see that, so they block it out. The HR person can see it, but the manager can't see it, and the employee can see it. So it's interesting. And there was a lot we covered today, and there's going to be a lot more we cover tomorrow. It's just phenomenal how much we can do. And the best part is they had all these scanners there. I could see this as a desktop appliance. And I could see this actually be at home as a desktop appliance. You know, you could your birth certificate, your car license, your title, your social security cards, and everything just get scanned into this document scanner and then put up onto your computer, and it holds all that. And then when somebody says, well, I need to get your social security stuff, and you can just send them one of the documents. If you don't like the fact that it says that you were born 8.3 inches, you can actually block that information out and send that birth certificate to somebody. Just amazing. Anyway, I'm babbling, but it was a great day. Tomorrow we're going to go through even more of information on how we can put it all together, and that's a big task. So the other big thing was last few days my website wibands.com suffered some hackers. Basically, I had a script on there a few months ago. Some hackers found a vulnerability in and started using it to their advantage. It was an email script. We disabled it, but for some reason, in the last week, I don't know if they rebooted the servers or whatnot. Security permissions went off on it, and the script was used again. And we disabled it. This time I tried to remove it, and we ran into some new problems. We finally got up about 2 hours ago. We finally got everything back on track. Back on track. So we are now back online, no problems. And just in time, because the other thing that I'm doing is I'm working on a content management system for that website. Mostly it was just a forum. I want to push it out of the forum area and get it into the into more information, more stuff for people. That's what I look for. News, 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 love it. In the music area. And I'm a big music area person. So anyway, enough about me. It's time for some news. And and we got some great news. I mean, I did some quick scouring. I was reading most of the stuff here in the last week, but you know, and kind of taking notes. I gotta think about this one. I gotta think about this one. It took me about an hour and a half to put this in this news line together, but I think it's a good news line here. We're gonna start off with some new stuff here, and we're gonna start off with the new Mac OS X server. Now Mac OS X coming out, 10.5 coming out very soon, otherwise known as Leopard, on October 26th. They're also coming out with the Mac OS X server. Now for some of you, some people don't realize that there is such a thing as a Mac OS X server. Yes, there is. It's actually a very useful thing if you don't run a Windows environment. Even if you do run a Windows environment, Mac OS X server is good if you have a lot of Macs, you know, a lot of graphic artists and stuff like that, and you need a good structure, because the Active Directory in Windows really doesn't do Mac justice. I mean, at work we have one Mac, technically. Officially three. Two of them aren't really works Macs. One's mine and one's my supervisor's. Excuse me. And the fun thing is that you know, with server, you can do so much more. And of course, we can't afford to get a server, a Mac OS X server for one person. If you run it, you got to check out the Mac OS X server. And if you have it, you got to make sure that you're going to get the updates, because there's some great additions with the new version of the Mac OS X server. Of course, it's not going to be cheap, but it's going to help you. One thing that'll help me is a podcast producer. it's got a lot of great stuff on it. Check out the web link. It's a PC World web link. And if you're into Macs, this is something that you need to read up on. Going from there, speaking of Macs, it's the peripherals, not the PC. Now, Apple and analysts quietly suspect that iPods and iPhones may be selling Macs nearly 8 times faster than any major PC brand. This is on eWeek.com. They're saying that because people buy their iPhones and their iPods, that they decide that they want to go with the brand and therefore buy a Mac. And they're judging on, of course, quarterly PC sales figures and of course Mac sales figures. But manufacturer moved 2,164,000 Macs in the third quarter of 2007, up 400,000 Macs from a year ago. 8 times the industry average growth rate. That's pretty good. It's it propelled it up to the number 3 PC manufacturer in the U.S. And even with the delay of Leopard, which is really not much of a delay, come on. It's a big thing. I mean, people, I understand it. You know, you got a big popular thing. You might as well push it. And you know, maybe it'll change when the new Zune comes out, Zune 2, and maybe that'll push us back to PCs. But it's tough to say. You know, people just want something to work on, and if they can work on a Mac just as easily as a PC, then why not? So, good read. Check it out. It's on eWeek.com. It's on the show notes here. Speaking of Windows, though, Windows MinWin runs 40 megabytes of memory. Now, MinWin, what it is the core operating system of the predecessor to Windows Vista. Now, you're going, Windows Vista just came out. It has a whole bunch of problems. Why would they even focus on the next operating system? Well, it's part of Microsoft's theory. 4 years on an operating system, move on to the next operating system. Good, solid theory if you think about it. But what this is just, it's the basics. It's the core. It's the, no bells and whistles, no cool background displays, running rivers or anything like that. It's just the basic core. And they say that it can run just 40 megabytes of memory to run. Now, XP requires a minimum of 128 megs of memory, minimum, but 256 to run decently, 512 to run decently with Microsoft Office. That's my personal opinion. But anyway, Windows Vista, 512 megabytes of RAM. You need 512 megabytes of RAM to run Windows Vista. Now, this MinWin says only 40 megabytes of memory. Now that's, once again, we're not talking drivers, we're not talking cool little bells and whistles, we're just talking the core thing. And I'm kind of wondering what Vista's core would actually run on. Would it run on 40 megabytes? Would it run on 64 or 128? It's tough to say. I don't think they really mentioned it here. But this is over on geek.com. Check it out. Post some replies over there. They're always willing to hear some new opinions in Web 2.0. And, of course, if you have any opinions here, there's two ways to get a hold of me. One is by email, drummerman1@gmail.com. And the other one is by phone, 608-807-4379. And now we've got a new sponsor. And our new sponsor is Rhapsody, rhapsody.com, for all your Rhapsody needs. I use Rhapsody. I decided to go with this sponsor because I use it. You know, I use Rhapsody. I got rid of my... I told you about this last week. I got rid of my CD collection, and I got Rhapsody. And I think, you know, you'd be pleasantly surprised on what Rhapsody can do. Now, basically, if you always are around an internet connection, you can call up your Rhapsody, and any song, if somebody says, yeah, I just heard this brand new... song by Fergalicious. And you're going, who's Fergie? Don't know. Well, you can go up on Rhapsody.com and you can get the song. And you get the song almost instantaneously. You can listen to it and you go, yeah, I heard that song. I don't think I like it too much. Or you can say, yeah, it was a great song. But did you hear this song or this song or this song? Just as good. What about these bands? These bands are just like Fergie. We're just as good. So now to get Rhapsody, let me find this here. Hold on a second. All you have to do is use code number 267. Well, come to the show notes, check out the link at the top, choose the link, and you get a 14-day free trial. Can't go wrong. I did that about a year ago. I chose the 14-day free trial, and I liked it a lot. I was able, first I had some problems with the download, but afterwards I got all the music that I needed and then some. So I use Rhapsody for a lot of things. I put together set lists and stuff like that. You can share set lists with other people, even with local artists. This is the best part with local artists. A lot of that money, if you went through record labels, they wouldn't see as much money, but they see money through Rhapsody. That's the best part. So go up to Rhapsody.com, try the 14-day free trial, click on the link, and you'll get that 14-day free trial gift from me to you. And that's Rhapsody there. So back to the news. iFi Wi-Fi SD card gets the FCC approval. Now, what this is an SD card that has wireless transfer. So basically, can wirelessly transfer things like pics to your computer. And it just got approved by the FCC. It's there's an 802.11bg Wi-Fi chip on board allowing you to upload shots that you've taken without plugging in your camera. Of course, the feature's been around for because the codec's easy to share. But if this works, it's going to be a great thing. You don't have to hook everything up, find your cables and stuff like that. It's a good advancement. This is over on Gizmodo. Check it out. It's the iFi Wi-Fi SD card. Now, speaking of new cool things, it's kind of new, but it's kind of old too. It's over on The Guardian. They're reporting, this is on The Guardian Unlimited, a CD that's one half a CD, and on the other half is vinyl. Rock band Fight Star is releasing the next single on a disc that is vinyl and on a CD on the other. So it's a gimmick, but I mean, how many people have record players? And of course, with the CD, you got a different size middle hole there. So I'm just looking at a CD right now. So you probably need to get some sort of adapter if you do have a record player to spin that. But just think about it. You know, you can play it on your CD, you can turn it around, and you play it on your record player. It's old, and then it's new again. And that's the best part about everything. Old and then new again. I love it. So, oh. How y'all doing? Are you having fun? I mean, we're now 17 minutes into this podcast, and we learned a lot about Mac OS X. We learned about Windows. We learned about some cool little innovations. And we're going to keep going, if that's okay with you. I hope so. Back over to Geek.com. Comcast blocks BitTorrent traffic. Now, this is a real tragedy. BitTorrent is used in such the wrong way. It's sad, but the reality is there's so much good that BitTorrent can do. Stuff that you could download that you wouldn't been able to download before. But, you know, you get something to exploit, and people will exploit it. So now Comcast is going to be blocking network type certain kinds of traffic on its network infrastructure. Targeting any type of peer-to-peer traffic. So it's a sad thing. It's we're going the wrong way on this communication highway, and we don't need to block things like that. Yeah, granted, it's an underground railroad for movies and music and pictures and stuff like that. But I'd really like to think that there's better ways to do it, because the next thing you're going to get out of this is somebody's going to try and set up a peer-to-peer network or a peer-to-peer server system, and somebody's going to come and start doing some witch hunting. And it's like, oh yeah, you were downloading, or you were giving them a chance to download this movie or this song. And I just think it's a bad idea. I think it's, you know, Comcast should not be able to block anything. That's my opinion. So it's just bad. Now here's an interesting article, and this is over on the International Herald Tribune, or IHT.com. They're talking about Breadstone and Matt Richel are talking about .com fever on Web 2.0. They're talking and they focus around Facebook, which is the recent community place for you to set up a website, all your information, get your friends and stuff like that. I'm on Facebook. And they're talking about how they're all these companies are starting to really boom, surge forward, do all these new cool things. But as in the first time with the dot-com era, we saw the bubble burst, and we saw a lot of companies disappear overnight. And what they're doing is they're saying that, you know, this is we're bound to repeat ourselves right now. So why are we going to repeat ourselves? Let's not repeat ourselves, because repeating ourselves is a bad idea. Let's not repeat ourselves. Did I repeat myself too much? Let's not repeat ourselves. The bubble must go. Interesting story. Read it out. Is it true or not? It's hard to say. We'll find out. Going back to the web 1.0, Napster was bought out by AT&T this week. And basically, I'm not going to focus on that because they talked about that in a few websites. But what I'm going to talk about is how Napster's relaunching Napster with a web-enabled platform, kind of like Rhapsody. Wow, that was another plug there. Ooh, cool. So Napster said that on Tuesday the plans to attract more customers by moving to a web-based platform. Basically, it's a good idea. I mean, everything is going to go web-based. And the best part is, if something changes in any reason, shape, way, shape, or form, they can change with it. Unlike a program, which you have to download, and then somebody might have an older version of the program, a web page, they don't have a choice. You get the new web page, and that's it. So, a great idea for Napster. I you know, they, of course, they were the premier, the leader of all this download revolution. And, of course, it's always funny to see them as legal as opposed to illegal from so many years ago. So, hey, if you go over to PC World, you're going to see this really cool article. I don't know why people want to do this, but, you know, hey, I just thought I'd throw it out to the masses. Are you tired of how Microsoft Office 2007 looks? I'm not, but are you? Would you like to make it look more like Office 2003 was? I don't, but would you? Well, then check this out. They're talking about how to change Office 2007 to make it look like Office 2003. So it's an interesting read. Check it out. And, of course, the better thing to do, instead of going backwards in time, is to go forwards in time. Now, if you go to Microsoft's website, they actually have a bunch of Flash tutorials on how to find stuff in Office 2007. And it's actually pretty cool, and I don't have the links for it, and I should have thought about this. I'll put it in the show notes and maybe for next week or something like that. But basically, what it does is it shows you Office 2003 and says, what did you want to do in Office 2007? Do it in Office 2003. Like, for instance, let's say I wanted to, in Microsoft Word, I wanted to remove all formatting. I would go to Tools and remove all formatting. Well, then what they would do is the Flash, you'd click Tools, you can click on remove all formatting. Then what it would do is it would put Office 2003 in the background, bring up Word 2007, and show you how to do it on the Microsoft ribbon. So, very, very useful program. I will get that program, where those programs are, to you, probably by next week's show notes, and go from there. But why go backwards? Let's not go backwards. Let's go forwards. I think, you know, that ribbon's sometimes hard to understand, but I think it grows on you. I like it a lot. I really do. If you go over to techdirt.com, this is an interesting story. I read it last week, and it's kind of sad because, you know, every now and then I just kind of want to see what other people are doing. So I kind of peek at their source. And you can do that by right-clicking on the web page itself and say view source or view generated source nowadays, it's saying. But there's a law firm out there that says, hey, we've got a copyright on that HTML source. You cannot view that HTML source. We are banning you from that source code. And in the entire user agreement, there's a part that says, we also own all the code, including HTML code and all content, As you may know, you can view the HTML code with a standard browser. We do not permit you to view such code since we consider it to be an intellectual property protected by the copyright laws. You therefore are not authorized to do so. You know, for a law firm to put that out, now I understand that they put it out, but that doesn't even sound legal or legalese, just the way that they wrote it. It's probably legal what they're doing. I mean, it's their code, you know. But, you know, try and enforce it. You know, if I took their paragraph code, how are they going to come back to me? Unless I take like their CSS, some of their RSS feed or something like that. I don't know. But they're saying, hey, it's our code. You can't touch it. And it's fine because chances are I'm never going to be on this law firm's website. But it opens up a whole new can of worms because then all of a sudden you're going to see people suing people because of HTML code. And then you're going to see HTML code patents and all that other junk. And it's going to get into a real mess. I understand what they're doing. It just doesn't make any sense. Moving on. SanDisk lets you take TV with you. I like this idea a lot. This is on geek.com. They developed this little device, and it kind of looks like one of those video games where you plug it into the AV slots, and it lets you take your TV shows with you. It's a video player. You can move the video from PC to television. Device works like a USB flash drive. The video can simply be moved over to the player. Once the player is in the cradle, the content in the player can become accessible to the TV. So, you download your favorite episode of whatever show, and then you throw it on this little puppy, and then you take it with you. Or, you know, you record your videos of your precious child walking for the first time, and then you put it on here, and then you can take it with you. So, I think this is a great idea. This is going to be the predecessor to something very, very big. You know, instead of PCs and stuff like that, we're talking little set-top boxes. And I'm hoping that they're even thinking of doing things like wireless. So you can have your PC, and you can just beam the content down to your downstairs TV, because that's where most of the stuff I do would go. And then you can watch it there. You know, there's no need for cable. That's the one thing I don't like about the HDTV is you're gonna need. Well, they're gonna incorporate in the HDTVs, but you know, you might need a cable box for every PC or for every television set that you own. You know, the one great thing about cable is the fact that I can put it on TVs without having to worry. If I don't want the digital content, I just have the regular 79 channels on the TV, and I can stream that. I can watch that content from my room, from downstairs. I don't need a set-top box. But of course, you know, with leaps and bounds with DVRs and stuff like that, it's not as much of an issue as a few years ago. Because with a set-top box, you could only turn on one channel. Had to make sure the channel was on the right channel so you could record whatever show you wanted to do on the VCR. Now with the DVR, it just knows how to do that and does it. I think right now, it's sad, but in a couple of years, hey, I think it'll probably be a really good thing to have. And it's all going to that digital revolution, and we got to love the digital revolution. It is digital. Remember that. And I just babbled on for about 2 minutes, and I think I just kind of went back and forth there. I kind of convinced myself that this is a good idea, but just another thing. It's another thing to worry about. Well, here's another thing to worry about. Wi-Fi security, WEP, was broken. Basically, WEP means wired equivalent privacy. It's basically a key that you usually put on your wireless routers so nobody else can drive by and say, hey, I need to use that internet. So they start typing on the internet, and they find your hookup, and then they, you know. So you have this key that they can try to hack into, but if you set your keys right, it's really tough to do. Well, basically the basic protection of the Wi-Fi has been compromised. So that means that you know, you're going to start seeing people, you're going to start seeing products out there that have the that can show you how to compromise through your WEP key. Now, there's different types of WEP, and it really doesn't go into how much of the WEP, if it's like 64-bit or 128-bit. Now, 128-bit is a standard for U.S. 64, internationally, I think it is. That might have changed, but check it out and read on it. The better, of course, they're talking about the better protection found in WPA or WPA2, and most wireless routers that you get nowadays have WPA or WPA2. And it basically says it requires Windows XP fitted with Service Pack 2 or Vista or OS X on the OS 10 on the Mac. So Linux also supports WPA, it was bound to happen. Come on, you give them any puzzle and they're going to try and solve it. That's understandable, but sad that it happened. Hey, if you go over to Live Science, you're going to find out this was a really cool thing. Apparently, it's a radio the size of a hair. Now you're thinking a radio like as in a FM AM radio? Well, yes. Basically, University of California, the researchers at Irvine created a carbon nanotube demodulator, is what they're calling it, and it can translate AM radio waves into sound waves. They transmitted classical music wirelessly from an iPod to a speaker several feet away. And they're basically mesh rods made of entirely carbon atoms. So, hey, this is pretty cool because radio's not dead. Radio will be dead by, 2010 when they go to HD radio. But for now, radio's not dead. They're finding new ways to make things smaller. We like smaller. Smaller is good. Speaking of creating things, Spiegel Online International talks about how the German museum created the world's tallest mini tornado. This is pretty cool. It's always a good idea to kind of research. If you ever saw the popular movie that starred Bill Pullman and name's escaping me right now. I can picture her. I just can't remember her name. That's nice of me. Well, sorry. You're going to have to suffer. And maybe give me a call at 608-807-4379. Tell me who that other person was. That's going to drive me batty. Anyway, they said it best. You know, in order for you to understand something, you got to kind of study it and to get it so you can understand its patterns. A tornado is probably the most wild one of the most wild patterns that we know of. So German museum, they created a 34.43 meter vortex tornado, basically. It's part of a unique fire prevention system. and it hit the Guinness Book of World Records, basically, because it's the largest one, man-made tornado. And check it out. It's always cool to see tech used in this way, I think. So maybe you have a different opinion on that, so let me know. Also, hey, I also got the email address, drummerman1@gmail.com. And, of course, if you want to get win the thumb drive, name it. What would you like to see the name of this show be? Because the show is not going to be the name of the show. So hopefully we'll get a name for this soon. So call in and give me some ideas or write in. And the one that I pick, unfortunately, it's going to be the one I pick because there's a lot of criteria that I'm going to be looking for in a good name. And one of them is the website available? The other one is the website available and is not adjacent to another website that's a porn site? So, 608-807-4379. Check it out. We are now on minute 35. So, just wanted to let you know. Where are we? Okay, techblorge.com is talking about Universal coming out with USB singles. Universal Records plans to combat declining sales by releasing singles on a new and more expensive format, the USB memory stick. Now, that's... A couple months ago, I sat down with a couple people, and I talked to them, and I said, you know how easy it would be to put your whole album onto a flash drive, 128 meg flash drive. And then you think about it, you can get a 128 megabyte flash drive from a screen print type company for about $3-4 a flash drive. Now, actually, I think it costs more to do that than to actually make a CD. But the advantage of these flash drives, you buy a box of 500 flash drives. You can put 18 songs on there, plus cover art. You can print on the side the name of your band. And then, let's say 6 months down the road, they say, you know, that song, that's that third track just doesn't really cut it. And you can go back, and you can rearrange your CD, add another track, add some interview or something like that, and reissue it on a thumb drive. Now, the best part is, you know, they buy the thumb drive for 10, 15, 20 bucks, whatever, and then they take the music home, they throw it on their computer, and then they can use the thumb drive for other things, like a regular floppy disk. And, of course, it's got your logo on it, so, you know, your name gets out to other places. It's a win-win situation. And I think this Luke McKinney, I think is bashing. I think he's just bashing it because of the fact that it's one USB drive, one song per USB drive. That's probably true. But yeah, I think that USB drives would be a great asset to the recording industry, and to push us to an MP3 format or a more digital format other than CD, get away from the CDs and start moving on to something a little bit more. CDs are still useful, but they're gonna disappear soon. One song, no. Five songs or more, yes. Good idea, I think. Speaking of music, Canada, this is over on geek.com, Canada begins taxing music downloads. Canada decided to put a tax on all music downloads enacted by the Copyright Board of Canada after request was submitted by the Society of Composers, Authors, and Music Publishers of Canada, or what's called SOCAN. Basically, it's 3.1 cents per track and 1.5 cents for each track of the entire album sold. So, you'll see, if you go to Canada, you download your music, there's going to be a tax on that. Good or bad, it's tough to say. I don't know how SOCAN works. If it was here in the United States with a tax like that, does the artist actually see the tax? It's hard to say. So if they can see the tax, then I don't have a problem with this. But if they don't see anything, if they don't see any more money from this, then I don't like it. Because why? It just doesn't make sense here. Moving on. Channel Web Network. CMP. That's basically CRN.com. Whatever you want to call it. It's just podge of networks. Anyway. Google ups Gmail to 4 gigabytes of storage. Now, if you have a Gmail account like I do, drummerman1@gmail.com, they are basically taking their service up to 4. So you can store 4 gigabytes worth of email. Now, recently, I've been introduced into the whole idea that, hey, you know, deleting email might not be the best solution, especially in a business environment. And, of course, some of you may know about this, but back in December of last year, they enacted a law that basically said that if you're a business, you've got to start cataloging and archiving your email to a point where if you get sued and there's a piece of email that needs to be brought to the attention, that you can bring it in a timely fashion. Because if you can't, then you're going to get fined. And the fines are not cheap. So with more storage, it means that we can get more emails. Hopefully it doesn't mean we get bigger emails. I just did a search on our email system, ran a couple scripts, and I found out we have about 17 gigs worth of email on our server right now. That doesn't count backups and all that other stuff, but right now 17 gigs worth of data for all our users. Of course, they store their email in other means like PST files and stuff like that. But the average email, this is the shocking one. The average email was like 562 kilobytes per email. Now, if I was to send you one email, let's just say it's like the size of the show notes. That should be 2, maybe 3 kilobytes. You should only get emails like that, 2 to 3 kilobytes. Even spam, you get, chances are. But if there's no pictures involved, 2 to 3 to 4 kilobytes. That's it. Even with the HTML content and stuff like that, the web page and email is only a couple kilobytes. So to have an average of 562, I think what I just said, kilobytes, is just, it's asinine. That means that we're doing the wrong thing with our email. And of course, we're going to talk, I'm going to talk to people about that and say, hey, you need to understand that, you know, you can't keep your attachments as an email. We need to do something with it, but we need to save it. And we need to catalog it properly. So, Gmail, good advancement here. You still got to go through all that email sometime. I know there's emails I haven't even looked at that are in my Hotmail account that are just, they're just big. They're just big. Speaking of which, I just got upgraded to Hotmail Plus. And, of course, with the upgrade came an upgrade price. I signed up for Hotmail 3 years ago, and I'm still going to keep it. There's nothing wrong with my Hotmail account. I don't have any problems with Hotmail, don't have any problems with Gmail or Yahoo Mail, for that matter. But, you know, to up the price, you know, they did throw that out there, but, you know, you're just going to sit there and go, okay, whatever. And then they're going to charge you $19.99. So, if you want to be promising, if you really want to make money off this whole thing, You gotta make subscriptions, and then you just automatic renewal subscriptions, and then, you know, hey, your subscription's renewing, here it is, you know, okay, bye. You just renewed it, $19.99. You don't need to do anything. You just renewed. And also, I can't imagine how many people just let that slide through, and say, nah, you know, I don't even use it, but, you know, I'll pay the $19.95. Isn't that crazy? I just can give them $20. What the hey? Don't even use it. Well, I use my Hotmail, so I give them the $20. That I don't have a problem with. But, you know, there are a couple things that I don't use anymore. I pay like $5-$10 for. And it's like, yeah, you know, I don't think so. That's my $5-$10 now. So, moving on. LEP.co.uk. That's the Lancashire Evening Post. They posted, this is an interesting read. It's basically the worst gadget award, and it revolved around a tin can opener that did not open a tin can. So it made it the worst gadget in the world. I'll let you watch it. It's we're running out of time here, so we'll just move on here really quick. Another thing from the Guardian Unlimited. This is more on the tracking systems. You know, it's a jacket that's got a little GPS on there and with a battery that lasts like I think it was 15 hours. And you can track down where your kids are, as long as they're wearing the jacket. You know, if their jacket's sitting in the locker, forget it. But if you put it in a pair of shoes, now this would be the best part. You put the GPS in the set of shoes, and then instead of putting a battery in, every time they walk, the compression from their foot through the sole to the ground actually pushes more power through. So every time they walk, they kind of recharge the battery. And then the battery tells the GPS where they are. And so if I need to track my kid, you know, chances of them not wearing their shoes, not as much as not wearing a jacket. So I think, you know, they're on the right track here. I, you know, don't want to get in the whole Big Brother thing, but it's a good thing for tracking, you know, so you know where your kids are. And I'm all for that, so... Got a couple more things here, and these are basically links to notes. 32 things you can do with beer. I read through this article. Very good. I learned you can use beer as a mousetrap. Some obvious stuff like shampooing your hair. Some unobvious stuff. Some silly stuff like get you to stop sleeping on your back and stuff like that. It works, but you can also do that with a rolled up sock. Point is, 32 things. Give it a read through. PC World has a talking about Apple in 2015. Basically, it's somebody's trying to predict the future. It's a good read. And talking about where Apple's going to be in the next 8 years. So check it out. Finally, did you ever want to sell a smartphone? You know, I got my smartphone. I'm happy with it, but not ecstatic. Well, maybe it's time to make your own smartphone. Red Ferret is reporting that CompuLab is offering a bare-bone pre-configured computer board with chips, radio, and choice of screen, along with either Windows CE or Linux. If you don't like your phone, you can make your own phone. Make your own Apple iTouch, iPod, or iPhone, or iSomething. Don't make an iBrick. No sense in making a brick. So, anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the show. Show number 4, now in the books. We're hitting the 50-minute mark, so we're doing good here. I'd like to thank you all for listening in and hear me babble for about 50 minutes. I'd like to thank our new sponsor, Rhapsody.com, 14-day free trial. Check out the link and click on the link. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, especially if you are in front of a computer all day and you need to listen to music. So once again, click on the link. You get a 14-day free trial. Other than that, we are good for this week. That's all the news I can handle, at least for right now. So let's do this again next week, shall we? My name is Jeff. And, of course, if you want to comment on the show, call 608-807-4379. Of course, drummerman1@gmail.com. And just check it out. I hope you'll come back next week. Bring your friends and tell them to join us. We're going to talk about more about tech and hopefully get some more stuff out of the way and go from there. So you guys have a great week. And, you know, the other thing is take a listen to some of the other podcasts out there. You know, I've been doing podcasts for about 2 years now. There's a lot of good geek shows out there. There's a lot of good music shows out there. There's a lot of good daily shows out there. Go to blueberry.com, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. That's blueberry without the E's. And go up there, check out all the podcasts that you can be listening to. There are some really good podcasts out there. It can probably replace your whole radio collection of what you've been listening on AM radio, or because those are going to go away once high definition radio comes out. So might as well switch to podcasts. Get it on your iPod and then download it on your car, listen to it on work, and you're good to go. So anyway, that's my plug for that. I hope you guys had a great evening or a great day whenever you were listening. And I hope to see you here next Wednesday. We're going to be doing this every single Wednesday for the time being. And this is the show. My name is Jeff. You have a great week. I will talk to you next week. Take care.